My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Well, there are lots of noises in our lives these days. Beeps, buzzes, dings, rings, little notes of music playing on our electric devices. We hear voices competing for our attention from TV, Twitter, Super Chat, or something like that, Facebook. It's hard to keep track of them all. And it's hard to know which ones to believe. Kind of reminds me of the old Charlie Brown cartoon where Charlie and his classmates are there in the classroom and you hear this wah, 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 wah. A little bit like that nowadays, isn't it? We may not know much about sheep these days, but we do know a lot about distraction and being misled. God's still small voice is barely audible in today's world. Well, I have to tell you today my one sheep story. I don't know what I'll do next year for a sheep story, but I do have one. When I was a kid, we traveled to my mother's cousin's home in South Dakota, and they lived on a ranch. And my mom's cousin had a daughter my age, so her name was Ginny Sue, and she was quite a gal. She wasn't afraid of anything. Me, I was afraid to go out to the outhouse at night. I mean, there were steers with big horns out there. I still remember them. But Ginny Sue had shot a rattlesnake the week before with a shotgun, 10 years old. She took us out, my little sister and I, one morning to the garage, and there was a car in the garage. It was open, but there were also a lot of sheep in the garage. I have no idea why, but there were a lot of sheep in the garage, and she said, get in the car, so we did, and she started honking the horn, and those sheep, oh, did they take off? I mean, it was a stampede, and we were so glad we weren't outside the car. But it gave me a little idea of how skittish, you know, sheep really are. And if one gets scared, they all run. Not too different from hearing something on Twitter, is it? One hears something, and we all get excited, don't we? I wonder sometimes how Jesus knew 20 centuries ago that we would still be like sheep today. There is, however, one thing that will keep sheep from getting too distracted, and that's the voice of the shepherd. You can have sheep from several different flocks or herds all grazing on the same hill, and at the end of the day, say you have three shepherds' sheep up there, at the end of the day, each shepherd has a different call. So one might have a high-pitched whistle, another kind of a low call, and the sheep will follow their own shepherd, and they will separate themselves into the different herds. Isn't that kind of amazing? They trust their shepherd to give them provision, protection, and his own presence to take care of them. Well, as Pastor Dave mentioned, the fourth Sunday of Easter season every year is what we call Good Shepherd Sunday, and most of us really love that metaphor of Christ caring for us like a shepherd guides and cares for his sheep. But I wonder sometimes, in the midst of all the voices that we hear and all the noises, how do we discern which voice is the shepherd's voice? How do we keep from getting all excited about something and going astray? And for that matter, leading others astray as well. To discern literally means to sift out, like they used to pan for gold. Maybe some of you remember sifting flour to get the impurities out. So to discern, for instance, a, a voice is to try to tell, you know, which one is God's voice. And that's why it's so important that we are familiar with Scripture and that we listen to God's word and that we know the context out of which that word is coming. For instance, in this passage, John chapter 10 is, of course, right after John chapter 9, but that's the story of the blind man whom Jesus heals. And, of course, the fact that the blind man could hear Jesus' voice is the reason he began to follow Jesus in the first place. So this shepherd metaphor is very much, you know, talking and speaking in regards to how this blind man heard Jesus. I want to commend Sharon Ross's work here as in her classes that help people learn how to discern the voice of Jesus in their lives, to slow down and to focus, to put away distractions and to really listen for the voice of Jesus and where he may be calling you to go and to learn to trust his voice. You know, people often ask pastors, well, how did you hear God's call? Did you, you know, hear an audible voice? And I will say to them, in my case, at least, well, not exactly. One of the things that contributed to my call is that I had four pastors in the same week ask me if I ever thought about going to seminary. And since I was used to and had learned how to listen, I also heard Jesus' voice in that calling. It was a season of Advent, and I heard over and over again from Scripture the voice of God saying through the angels, "Don't be afraid." And I took that to heart, "Don't be afraid." And then finally, listening to my own gut and what was going on inside of me. So three things: Scripture, the voice of the church, and what's going on inside of you are ways to hear the shepherd's voice, and if those voices come together consistently. A trained spiritual director can help you to be more aware of what's going on and how God might be speaking to you. And of course, all of this needs to be consistent with what we know about Jesus and about his Father. So, for example, if someone said, well, I heard God's voice telling me to buy a gun and to go and shoot people, I mean, obviously that was not God's voice that you heard. A second metaphor used in our gospel lesson today is when Jesus says, "I am the gate." This is one of 11 I am sayings in the Gospel of John where Jesus uses the name given by God to Moses to reveal that he too is God. I am, or Yahweh, used to be translated Jehovah. The gate is a metaphor for protection. It is not a metaphor for exclusion. So we can't say, well, we're the good sheep and we're keeping the outsiders out. But no, the gate, the purpose of the gate is not to keep out other sheep, but to keep out that which threatens the sheep, the bandits, the predators, the thieves. During the day, the gate is open so the sheep can go out to pasture. And the gate and the shepherd work together so that the sheep can thrive. But indeed, the shepherd literally was the gate. From what I've read, there were, you know, if you had a sheep pen, it would be three-sided, and then you would have part of the fourth side and an opening. And at night, the shepherd would literally lay down across that opening to protect the sheep. He would literally lay down his life for the sheep. So it's no small thing in the next verse when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. By laying down his life, Jesus saves us from whatever would threaten us, from false promises from the outside that power or money or influence or even hard work and knowledge can give us all that we need. He gives his very life so that we may be safe and protected. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So why does Jesus do all of this for us? Why does he lay down his life for us? And yes, it is because of his love for us. But in addition, he says, so that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. What does that look like for you? In our culture, I would say that most people think of abundant life as stuff, having lots of stuff, right? Maybe a big house and another big house, or a fancy car or a sports car, maybe a boat, luxury and lavishness. And you can see then why the prosperity gospel is so popular in America today. It sells. We want to be told that God wants us to have a lot of material blessings. But that is not the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. Did you ever see a sheep driving a new car? No, what Jesus is offering is an abundance of protection to provide for what we need and to be present to guide and lead us. That is abundant life. Trusting the Good Shepherd loves you and will always be present with you and take care of all your needs. To have no worries, to leave them to Jesus. Now that's abundant life. And that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't capable of doing things over the top. I mean, throughout the book of John, it begins with his first sign or miracle, and he turns all those jugs of water into wine. Now, if that's not abundance, I don't know what is. My son wanted that for his wedding text because he thought it would be great if all the water turned to wine. Jesus feeds the 5,000 with a couple loaves of bread, two fish. Abundant feeding. And in John 11, Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead. Is there anything more abundant than resurrected life, than new life? The gospel writer John gave us a clue from the very beginning in John 1:1. He said, "And we have received grace upon grace." Not just grace, but grace upon grace. Abundant grace. That's God's promise to you and to me. An intimate relationship with the one who loves and cares for us most. And that is abundant life. I want to close today by reciting together, for those of you who know it, Psalm 23, the King James Version, many of us memorized as a child. And I still find that very consoling. Please join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.